Welcome back to the Book of Proverbs and the Wisdom Roundtable. We've arrived at chapter 10, and with me at the Wisdom Roundtable, Peyton Jones. Welcome back to the table.
Hey.
And Tadeesh Ross. How you doing, Tadeesh?
Phenomenal.
Time to gain some wisdom together. All right, we've arrived at the Proverbs proper, the two-line wonders. Chapter 10 is where we really hit it, but how do we read it? It doesn't read like the rest of the Bible. It's not a story. It's not a letter. How do we read these? Proverbs, Peyton, how do you come at the book of Proverbs?
I like to think of it as the way that life actually works. This is like a field guide to everyday life. And sometimes you find that it's very situational. What might work in one situation may not work in another. For example, there are proverbs that say, answer a fool according to his folly. There's an opposite one. Do not answer a fool according to his folly. And it's situational. It's kind of like the spirit in everyday life, how to listen to the voice of wisdom that's hardwired into the universe.
So in that way, Proverbs can be seen sometimes as a set of tools, and sometimes you need a wrench, sometimes you need a screwdriver, but they don't cross over into each other's situations clearly. Sometimes they work to a T. Sometimes it you got to look at some of the Proverbs with eternal perspective. You're going to get frustrated if you look at the Proverbs like they're laws of science. They're not a strictly input-output machine. My key rule for Proverbs is slow down. You got to give each one of them time. Now, you don't have time to give every proverb its due time, but as you read through a chapter, one of them strikes you, then slow down for it. And as you read each proverb, I picture each of them like a small but very dense object. Like if you picked up a small chunk of gold, it's going to surprise you how much weight there is to it. And the proverbs are like that. You're going to pick it up and say, oh, there's a whole lot more to this than I saw at first.
I think of each proverb as like the everlasting gobstopper or even the chewing gum from Willy Wonka. The longer you chew on it, the more of a different flavor you're going to taste.
All right. Now, we're going to try to teach this by modeling more than anything. So let's actually get into them. Let's get into chapter 10. Each of us will pick out one or two proverbs. Tadeesh, we'll start with you. You picked out a proverb at verse 4. So read that for us and tell us what you think.
Proverbs 10:4. Lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. The two things that struck me when I was reading that proverb is when your ambitions exceed your work ethic, that's a dream. And when your work ethic exceeds your ambitions, that's a plan. So a lot of times we're teaching people to dream, but the easiest part about a dream is having it. Now you have to do something that is a proverb, not an amateur noun. Are you going to go do it? So that's what a proverb is. It's a proverb. It's not an amateur noun. It's not abstract in the sky. So if lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth, and also the word wealth and the word poverty are subjective. You can be rich in spirit. You can be rich in resilience. You can be rich in empathy. So it's not all about material things. But it is that need to be diligent, because discipline beats motivation.
Man, one of the things we're going to see moving forward is that word definition is key. The Proverbs will talk a lot about wealth and poverty, but how you define that wealth is essential. It's not just talking about physical riches, and we're going to see that more and more as we move forward. All right, let's keep moving forward. Now, the topics in Proverbs change quickly. And that's one of the things I love about them. They bounce around, but they keep coming back. And as you see themes, you want to keep coming back to those themes. We'll see more about work, hard work, and laziness. But let's bounce to a new one. Peyton, what's your first proverb for us?
Proverbs 10:21, the lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of sense. You know, I think about it like this. The wise are nourished from words of wisdom. They feed their lives like fuel to a rocket or wood to a bonfire. But fools die from lack of sense is another way of saying they're starving from lack of wisdom. When I was a kid, we used to put our hand over someone's head and say, what's this? It's a brain sucker. What's it doing? It's starving. Well, this is like saying there's nothing in their heads. They're starving to death from lack of sense.
All right, that's a good one. And 21 brings me to one of those key word definitions. We're going to see the words wisdom and folly throughout the Proverbs, and defining those well is key. In the Bible, the wise are intelligent, skillful, or artful. It can mean shrewd or learned. But here in Proverbs, wisdom is not only an intellectual characteristic, but also a moral one. Wisdom guides you to do right. And thus, so is folly. Foolishness in Proverbs is not simply intellectual stupidity. The Bible uses the word simple for a person of less intellect. But the fool is not so much dumb as he is godless. His or her downfall is not a low IQ, it's pride. They think they know. They know better than others. They know better than God. But the wise person fears God. All right, let's hit another one. Tadis, what's your next proverb for us?
Yes, so Proverbs 10:26, as vinegar to teeth and smoke to eyes, so are sluggards to those who send them. Now, if you want something done, you have to assign a busy, competent man. I know that sounds controversial, and sometimes it can be deemed subjective. But if you think about the people, not just men, but the people who really are the most competent and the busiest, they usually have the most workload. Because people trust them to get things done. God trusted Moses to walk for 40 years. That's a serious employment. And he didn't even get to get a check based on his own reactions and still straying out of the will of what God had for him. God told him, I didn't tell you to get mad. Go back up in that mountain. Nobody told you to get mad. And that is serious. So, you know, if when you're thinking about delegating certain situations in your life or being delegated to, try to be the most competent version of that. You know, that's all I'm asking. Everybody falls short and we all make mistakes, but try your hardest to be as competent. Seek the wisdom and then carry out the task.
Amen. Now, I know I got a classroom teacher when somebody keeps talking about laziness and hard work. Today's work, you work in the classroom, and I love the imagery here as vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes. So is a sluggard to someone who sends it. When you're looking for somebody to do something, you're looking around your classrooms for somebody to send, you're looking for somebody you can trust. You get to know those people. We all get to know them. There's a reason they're busy because everybody can spot it. That somebody you can trust. When people are asking you to do something, it's because they trust you. All right, let's keep bouncing around. We're going to go back to verse 12 and Peyton Jones. What do you have there?
Hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers all wrongs. Now, this is a verse where both the wise and the foolish are hiding something. We've all met passive-aggressive people. They don't have the guts to say what they feel, or maybe they can't accept that they have hatred in their heart, so they hide that hatred. But everywhere they go, they leave a wake of destruction. Hatred stirs up conflict. Destruction, conflict, and broken bodies follow them everywhere. You just can't hide the effects of a harbored hatred. But love hides too. It just hides other people's sins, not your own. It doesn't want to bring other people's sins out into the open, but to see them covered by the blood of Jesus and forgotten, like God forgives our transgressions. So love covers all wrongs. Both are hiding. One is hiding your own sin. That's a foolish thing to do. Wisdom overlooks the sins of others.
And there in verse 12, we have hatred and love, another one of the common dichotomies in the Proverbs. And word definition is key again. What you're going to see with hatred and love is not a pair of emotions in conflict, but they're more often paired with actions, how we treat other people. And speaking of key definitions, I'm going to move us back to verse 16. 10:16 says, "The wages of the righteous is life, but the earnings of the wicked are sin and death." Now, the key definitions here are in righteousness and wickedness. Righteous means right with God, having a right standing in God's sight. Proverbs describes righteousness in the real world, how righteous people act. But keep in mind that the Bible tells us many times that apart from God, there is no one righteous. So as we read these Proverbs, we can't paint them onto ourselves as, oh yeah, I'm the righteous, I'm the good one. But Jesus changes that for us. Jesus became sin so we could become the righteousness of God. So as you come to these Proverbs that have a duality to them, it's going to be a mistake for you to see, oh, I'm the good guy, you're the bad guy. If you read through the Proverbs and you only see what's wrong with everyone else and what's right with you, you're not looking carefully. I take each and every one of them as this is who I was and this is who I'm becoming. When you read about the wicked, that's who you were, and that's what you've earned. Here in verse 16, the earnings of the wicked are sin and death. That's who I was, and that's what I earned. But with Jesus, I'm righteous. He is my only righteousness, and the wages of the righteous is life. That's what Jesus earned for me, and that's what I'm becoming. That's what I'm moving toward. In every proverb, I want to see who I was, what I'm moving away from, and who God is making me to be. But only Jesus can do that in me. Well, guys, we are all out of time for Proverbs 10. For those of you listening, take a read through Proverbs 10. Slow down. As you find a little bit of weight, slow down, pick that up and turn it. See that proverb from different angles. Share it with someone else. If you're in a group together, pick out a couple proverbs apiece and share what you heard and what you learned and what it speak to you and gain wisdom from one another. And we will meet you back in Proverbs 11.
Join us next time as we continue the journey one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word.